I hate to interrupt that beautiful moment, but in just a minute, we're going to come down together and take the bread and the cup of Jesus as a family. But first, I just want to address the insanity of the last couple of days in our city and the last week across our nation. My name is John Mark, by the way, if you're new or visiting. I'm the lead elder here, and I just want to welcome you tonight. And I hate to once again interrupt this beautiful moment, but I do feel like we just want to take a moment to address it. So a short pastoral word slash kind of mini sermon in the middle of worship to kind of shape our time together. You know, like many of you, I woke up Wednesday morning in a daze. I mean, my head was literally in a fog, just reeling over the moral decay and the social disorder in our city and our nation. And this election has exposed a deep emotional pain in the fabric of our country, dragging out into the light what was already there, but is more acute, I think, now than ever before. That widening gap between not only the left and the right, but between urban and rural, between the West Coast and the Northeast and the rest of the country, between whites and people of color, between those with privilege and those with less of it, between secularists and the Islamic community, between cultural Christianity and the way of Jesus. We really are becoming two Americas, and the divide right now is more painful than any time in my life. And I know it's really scary. In the last couple of weeks and months, we've seen so much erupt into the surface of our society. Everything from racism and sexism and xenophobia on one side to bigotry from the left and intolerance and massively out of touch elitism on the other side. It has been just gut-wrenching to watch. And I know that a lot of us are reeling in the room tonight, in particular our black and brown brothers and sisters in the church and our friends in the Muslim community outside of the church. And you know, if you're a millennial, this is really our first time, if you're my age or younger, in living through real social unrest. I was talking with some of our elders, Peter and Stephanie, who were living down in Berkeley and San Francisco in the 60s and 70s, and just hearing stories about living through the Berkeley riots and LSD and the hippie thing and Vietnam and Nixon and Patty Hearst and all of that upheaval. But for most of us who grew up in the 80s or 90s or the 2000s, this is really our first shot. 9/11 doesn't really count because that, as tragic as it was from outside our country and it unified our nation. This is very different. And so for a lot of people, especially brown and black people or people of color or immigrants, but really for all of us, in particular with the riots and violence and 71 people arrested, and we're on the front page of pretty much every newspaper in the world right now, it's been a really scary and confusing week. So I just have a few pastoral thoughts for you. Please go easy on me. There's no way to say this without making somebody angry, especially as a white male of privilege, but I feel like I need to talk about this. So just a couple of things to remember if you're a follower of Jesus or if you're new to Jesus, to realize maybe for the first time. The first is this, that Jesus is king. Do you believe that? That's right. Jesus is king. And you know, if you've been around, you know we shy away from language like God is sovereign or God is in control. That means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But however it works, I know that what we sang a few minutes ago is true. God is over all. That he is bigger and stronger than this election cycle, than this season of Congress, than this moment in our nation's story. And we are a part of an ancient people that stretched back thousands of years, long before America and democracy were even a thing, and stretched forward to the return of Jesus to make things new. And we care about our country. We feel an acute pain right now over the turmoil in it. But we, at the same time, belong to another king and to another kingdom. And our hope is not grounded in a candidate or a political party or an ideology of right or left or even in democracy as a form of government. We're with Chance the Rapper. Don't believe in kings, believe in the kingdom. Actually, we're with Jesus, but Chance is kind of we like him, you know? And our hope is grounded in Jesus and his inbreaking kingdom now and not yet. So just remember that as you think about the insanity of our city right now, Jesus is king overall. In January, the president of the United States will change, but the ultimate power in the universe will not. It's Jesus. Secondly, there is a deep spirit of fear in our nation right now. It's palpable. You can literally feel it walking in off the street, watching some people riot, you know, team running down the street to deal with stuff tonight. You can feel the fear in the air. And it's been fueled by the news media and the internet and the seventh layer of hell that is Facebook over the last week or two. And, you know, I just, the media has turned this into a reality TV show, essentially. I wonder why. And we're all waiting for the explosion and World War III to come at the end. And I just want to say, and I say this with a ton of humility, our government has all sorts of issues, but it's a decent working government. We do not live in Syria or North Korea or Iran. There are checks and balances. There are laws that we have to actually obey, and we will get through this. And even if you disagree and you think that's naive or whatever, the reality is, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be people of peace, not of fear and anxiety and paranoia. Not that that isn't legitimate for some people who right now are waking up scared, but we are called to be people of peace. Our city so badly needs people of peace. The internet doesn't really need anything, so just stay off of it. But if you're there, we need people of peace. Your office, your classroom, your neighborhood, your coffee shop, your gym needs people peace. Be the people of peace. We're called to peace, not to fear. Third, this election cycle, in all honesty, has exposed how massively out of touch a lot of us are with most of our nation, in particular those of us living in an urban, progressive, wealthy city like Portland, and especially if you're white and of privilege like myself and many others in the room tonight. And it has been shocking to a lot of us, but it's been This is how our country has been for a very long time. Racism is a huge problem in our nation. It is a massive issue that we have to deal with. We have to stand up as the multiracial people of God on the side of justice and advocate and not stop until we see healing in that area. On the flip side, the bigotry from the right and from the left over the last couple of days has been shocking. Bigotry at rural uneducated people, bigotry at Christians, bigotry at anybody who's on the conservative side. It has been stunning for me to watch. If nothing else, this election is a wake-up call that globalism, which has some great things about it, but the felt experience of globalism is very different to a rural farmer in Kansas or a truck driver from Arkansas or a factory worker in Detroit than a cool hipster making 80 grand a year for an ad agency and living in a modern condo in Portland, Oregon, driving an Audi. It's a very different experience. And it's not to slam you. If you're like, that's me, it's not to slam you. Just tithe, okay? But it's not... It's not to slam you, it's to say now is a time to listen to people of color. I was just in a conversation as I was walking in here with a sister in our church who's black, who said, this was the hardest week of my life and I am exhausted. Like, if nothing else, if you don't resonate with this, you don't really get it, then maybe not this week because our friends are tired, but when it's the right time, sit down for a cup of coffee with a black or a brown brother or sister in our church or an immigrant in our church and just say, will you tell me your felt experience? And just listen, shut up, and just listen. And don't argue, don't debate, don't agree or disagree, just listen and be there as a brother or sister when people are ready to talk about it. And if nothing else, it has been an exposure to what people of color are dealing with in our nation and what the poor, and a wake-up call to the teachings of Jesus and the writings of the Bible about our call to the poor regardless of skin color. So it's a huge wake-up call, and we need, as the church of God, to listen to it. Four, we are seeing the end of cultural Christianity. It feels weird in Portland for two reasons. One, because it died here a long time ago, if it was ever alive. But it's just now sweeping through our nation. And two, it's weird because we're seeing secularization on the right now just as much as on the left. So this is everything that we talked about through the summer in the Creative Minority Series. It's everything we talked about the aggressive move of secularization across the West and in our country. We're just not used to seeing it on the right. But remember the left, and I'm not taking a side here, but the left started as a liberal Christian movement around the ideas of social justice and then later became secularized, although there are still Christians in that. Now we're seeing the exact same thing happen to the right. So the media right now that got pretty much everything wrong about this election is reeling and is looking for a scapegoat, and white evangelical Christians are low-hanging fruit. We all went to bed Tuesday night hearing that polls can never be trusted again. Then we woke up to that poll with 81% number Wednesday morning, and that's all people have been talking about since. Like, wait a minute, I thought we can't, you can't have your cake and eat it too. And there's truth in it. That is gut-wrenching for a lot of us to deal with. But reality is far more complex. What that same set of polling shows that people aren't talking about is that the vast majority of that number of people, that 81%, do not attend church at all. This is not the rebirth of the religious right, those of you that are my age and grew up in the 80s. This is the birth of the alt-right, a new form of secularism that is conservative on the social side, but does not go to church, does not practice the way of Jesus, is not interested in the New Testament as much as it is in, you know, I'm going to stop right there. But I don't want to take a side. It's not my point here at all. My point is the line of demarcation between cultural Christianity and the way of Jesus has, in my lifetime, never been so acute. And there are pros and cons to that. But the reality is, as a follower of Jesus, an apprentice of the kingdom of God, you will stick out like a sore thumb in days and weeks and years to come, and that's not all bad. And so finally, I just have this to say, we need right now to be the people of Jesus more than ever in our city. We have to step up. Not that we're the answer to the problem, we're part of the problem, but we need to step up. In a time of toxic anger, blame shifting, refusal to even listen to the other side of the conversation, racism, bigotry, greed, fear, paranoia, anxiety, violence, rioting in the streets. In that time, we need to embody the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Man, do we need that right now. We need to be a family, not an event on a Sunday night, a safe place. We have people here from all over the place. People here that are hurting, that are grieving, people here that are hopeful. We have people from all over the map. And this needs to be a safe place, a family, to process what we are bound together, not by political ideology. We are bound together by the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. So we need to be a family. We need to be a safe place for that. And in this cultural climate of fear, we need to put on display peace. Of hate, we need to put on display love. Of racism, we need to work toward the multiracial family of God. Of bigotry, toward a humility and a care and concern for the poor. In a sphere of the stranger, of the immigrant, we need to welcome the stranger, regardless of skin color or religion, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. We need more than ever to be the people of Jesus. And so I just want to lead you in a prayer. I've been thinking, like, this election has been about tearing things down, and that's not all bad, but rebuilding things is 10 times harder. So how do we as a creative minority even begin to take part in the effort to rebuild our fractured society? Honestly, I don't even know. That is a complex and challenging question. There's no easy answer. Here's the beginning point, not the end. The beginning point is, how about we pray and then take communion together, okay? So before we pray, I just want to read this to you. This is Paul to Timothy in the New Testament. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. You know, I've been thinking about this line all week, and I don't know if you know this, but scholars speculate that when Paul wrote this, Caesar Nero was in power in the empire. If you know anything about him, he was just terrifying. And even if that's not true, like, the Caesar empire was not friendly to the way of Jesus. And here's Paul writing to Timothy, first of all, like, high priority, petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all people, and especially for kings and those in authority. And I love that line, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. So I just want to lead you in a prayer for our nation and for President-elect Trump. I know for some of you this will be easy, for others of you this will be so hard. Some of you aren't even ready for that yet, and that's fine. Just stay here and be with us, and we'll pray together. So would you stretch your hand across the aisle and take the hand of the person next to you, and let's pray together as a family. God, you are our Father. We're about to come to your table as brothers and sisters, not as Democrats or Republicans or independents, not even as Americans, but as brothers and sisters and as sons and daughters. And we just ask tonight for your mercy. God, we lament the state of our nation. It's not a political statement. We lament the moral disaster of the last few years. We lament the division across our country in every sector of society. We lament the violence. We lament the anger and the vandalism and the pain of the last few days in our city. We lament the racism that just won't go away. We lament the bigotry looking down. We just lament, God. We ache, we grieve, and we process with you. We lament what our brothers and sisters of color are feeling and dealing with right now. We lament the fact that for some of us, this changes pretty much nothing about our life. It's not right. And Jesus, we ask for your healing. For your healing over our church, may it begin here. Over relationships between moms and daughters and fathers and sons, brothers and sisters and friends. We ask for your healing in our city. Would your peace settle over our city? Would you bring an end to all violence, all vandalism? God, would you bring healing to our nation, across it, not just on the West Coast, but across our nation? Would you bring healing to the church, the capital C in America? Would you bring your kingdom to bear? And now, God, we pray for President-elect Trump. And honestly, God, I don't even know exactly how to pray for him right now. But I know he needs wisdom. I pray that you would give him wisdom from the Holy Spirit to make really good decisions, to navigate and lead and guide our country out of the treacherous waters we're in, to unify our country. God, I pray as he's picking out his cabinet right now, I don't know how you're involved in that, God, but I pray that you would raise up modern day Daniels in that group of men and women to push and pull him on behalf of the poor and the oppressed and push and pull him into the way of Jesus. God, I pray that you would somehow get involved in that. God, I pray that you would give him and his new administration grace to lead and guide our country forward. And we pray, we don't know where he's at with you, Jesus, but if there is a seed of faith there, we pray that you would water it, that it would grow, that it would take root, that it would flourish. We pray this not in a passive-aggressive way, in the same way we pray it over every man and woman here and myself, that he would change, that he'd grow and mature into his true self and discover his identity as a son of God. We ask that in the name of Jesus. And we ask for you to have mercy on him, mercy on our government, mercy on both parties, mercy on our nation, and to lead us and guide us forward. And Jesus, our hope is in you. We care about this country a lot, but our hope is in you, and we pray for you to come. Maranatha, in the language of the New Testament, come and make all things new. In the name of Jesus, we say together, amen.